Without the Smell of Fire by Walter C. Lanyon. Chapter 15. Yet in My Flesh. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. It does not say all matter, but all flesh, for that substance called flesh is a third substance resulting from the merging of matter and spirit. It is that of which Jesus spoke after his resurrection. The flesh, real and eternal, changeless, capable of living in the world and yet not of it. Flesh is impervious to fire and water, can tread upon serpents and scorpions, is not affected by poison, because it is no longer under the curse of the law. This flesh is the Jesus Christ consciousness, the heritage of every man. It is able to move through the pictures of evil without coming nigh destruction. 10,000 shall fall at thy right hand, etc., yet it shall not come nigh thee. Why? Because you have become conscious that you are the Jesus Christ consciousness, the flesh that is to see it. You are so attuned to the voice that now, during these latter days when the cosmic forces are house-cleaning the old order of civilization, you can move amid the chaos without fear or evil results. The old order changeth. Behold, I make all things new. With this great event, the passing of the old order, come many pictures of dissolution and apparent change. It is your time to know whether you can refrain from judging from appearances, or whether you will try to save the old order by looking back. Behold, I make all things new. All things. And this making of things new demands that the old pattern be broken up, dissolved, and melted down. The fusing of matter and spirit must take place in order that the kingdom of heaven be established on earth. You already have this kingdom of heaven in consciousness. Now must it create for itself an embodiment by permeating matter and bringing out the flesh that is to see it together. In this flesh consciousness, you are so aligned with the voice you can hear it, or see the manifestation, or touch it, or whatever you will. This is the way, walk thou in it. You will be able to step over, around, or through the symbolic ladders, scaffolding, mops, buckets, and pans the great cosmic forces are using to clean up the residue of a broken-down civilization. Behold the new order. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Do you hear? The matter mind cannot be stayed on me, spirit, because it is not the capacity of this continuity of thought. So filled is it with the history of evil. The flesh is the substance or medium which receives the new dispensation which is even now descending out of the clouds of belief. Do you begin to understand this new order? How it is that you are flesh, and that this very recognition causes you to be aware of new urges and concepts which in turn enable you to pass through unharmed? It shall not come nigh thee. Do you hear? This flesh consciousness is a tower of light into which men may run, thereby instantly dissipating all shadows. It is this light so white and bright that it shines through anything. All darkness and fear are absorbed. All flesh shall see it together. You are the tower of flesh which sees the new dimension. Or you are the flesh matter of which it is said, flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. The flesh consciousness which is to see it will also see the things which the matter eyes have not seen, or the matter ears have not heard, and find itself possessed of those things which have not entered into the heart of man, but which are already prepared for him. It is a new dimension. When you once know yourself as this Jesus Christ consciousness or flesh, you will cease the idea of trying to use it as a separate power. A candle does not use light, it gives it, and anything that comes into its radius receives whatever of light it can appropriate. This is life eternal, to know me. You cannot know me with the matter mind. All this knowing must be done by the Jesus Christ consciousness. This seems so involved, and yet it is yours for acceptance, for recognition. The old order of treating, demonstrating, and trying to use God is over. You are God in action when you realize the Jesus Christ principle of life. Anything that touches you then receives the virtue. There is no further effort to heal a disease in the old sense of the word, but a steadfast light consciousness which dissolves the congestion of human thought known as disease, poverty, unhappiness, or evil. It is wonderful. You are it. You are that Christ consciousness made manifest in the flesh. You shall see and shall give all without effort. All flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Chapter 16. To him that hath. To him that hath shall be given, now through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Recently, in a charity drive, a limousine of a famous make was raffled off to raise funds for the refugees. The award went to a man who already possessed 17 other cars, and who greeted the news with, "Good heavens, why didn't someone who wanted and needed a car get it? I have 17 cars already." Why did this man, contrary to all the teachings of metaphysics, win the prize? He had no desire for it, didn't want it, and was disappointed when it came to him. He held no thought, said no affirmations, declared no truth, in fact was negative to the whole situation. Why did he win? Now is the day when the new old dimension of consciousness is coming into its own. The old worn-out habits of human thinking must give place to the recognition of God. The long years of trying to create a God or trying to use the power of God through thought are over. It is the day of entering into the consciousness of God here and now, a God not created by human thought, neither sustained by it, nor made or operated by thought. Consciousness of the presence has come. It is the second coming of Christ in the individual, the reappearing of the permanent identity of man, which automatically lift him into the place of the finished mystery at which level Jesus expressed. Jesus always started with the premise, "It is done. Thank you, Father." He always counseled, "Take no thought," knowing that the thought-taking process would produce only pain. The more you hear a person making affirmations, the more you know he is not and has not the thing which he affirms. A rich man never affirms that he is rich because he is rich. A well man never affirms he is well because he is well. And so Jesus started with the premise, "It is done, it is consummated." Entering this consciousness, he functions from that level and automatically produces the manifestations of that consciousness, just as a writer produces books and a singer songs. There is nothing strange about it. The God-created being who recognizes himself will produce the things of spirit. All this is beyond the grasp of human thinking. It is in the realm of the impossible and therefore must come under the law of God, where all things are possible. Until man sees this, he will perpetually try to work the law of God and attempt to make God do his bidding. The acquisitive quality, which automatically sets in the moment you enter the new consciousness, is as natural as its opposite in the mental realm. There is nothing that can stop the flow of manifestation. It is as automatic as the casting of a reflection in a mirror. You do nothing, but you are perfectly conscious of yourself as a body, and therefore the reflection of it takes place whenever you pass before the reflector or the mirror. Nothing strange about this. And so the moment you enter your father consciousness, you begin to release automatically the perfect reflection of that state of consciousness. To the consciousness of substance, you automatically express substance in the relative world. You do not demonstrate anything. Thus, Jesus, with his eternal question, "Believest thou?" Can you by any chance appropriate this consciousness? The moment you do, the whole universe becomes new, and you exclaim, "Whereas before I was blind, now I can see." That is, you have entered into a consciousness of sight, and you automatically see. Hence, all the positive thinking in the world is not going to make anything happen, just as all the negative thinking in the world is not going to change God. It may change your outlook on life and your belief, but thought will never change anything in the perfect universe of God. The man who won the car didn't need it, didn't want it. Hundreds of others did, and perhaps many of them knew they were going to get it. But it went automatically to the one with the consciousness which could accept it without the excitement of having made a demonstration. Answering this consciousness is no more difficult for you than anyone else. If you but once glimpse the fact that it is something beyond thought and reason. No reasoning can be used on spirit, any more than it can be applied to Santa Claus. The fact that the child can believe is sufficient to make the Santa appear. The moment you believe, the body for your new acceptance begins to appear. This is all too fantastic to be true, and of course it is not true to the level of thought in which you dwell. Nothing can happen through that level but more thought pictures of evil. The moment the new idea is accepted, the announcement of the coming into being of the new idea goes forth, and the shepherds see the light of the star and move towards the place of birth with their gifts. In other words, the moment you can believe, you have announced to the world that a new idea is to be brought forth, and everything that is to assist in the coming into being of this new idea responds and moves toward the place of manifestation. It is too fantastic to think about, but the moment you enter into a new consciousness, everything that is necessary to bring that consciousness into being moves toward you. The wise men bearing gifts or recognition. Through all this apparent mysticism, you begin to see how it is your new consciousness is embodied and made real. Your body is the body of God. All living manifestation is the body of God, the place where the invisible comes through into expression. Without a body, there would be no God visible. Without an automobile, the principle of locomotion in that respect would be invisible, nothing. Yet would it be there always? Your body is the body of God. Do you hear? Does that by any chance mean anything to you? Contemplate this. Be still and know that I am God. And see if anything filters through into your relative place of thought. Gradually, you will not only understand why you are not sick anymore, but also why it is impossible for that to happen. You will again approximate the consciousness of being created in the image and likeness of God, and see how this slight adjustment through believe causes you to be every whit whole. The evil thought pictures which have covered your body disappear the moment you recognize that your body is the body of God. You can carry this wonderful idea into a further place. That the body of God is a fit place for God to dwell, and that the Father within you has an express service and manifestation into the world. No wonder Jesus dismissed everything in favor of, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" It is amazing how this recognition suddenly aligns you with the proper expression in life. You are every whit whole. You are the body of God, and the Lord in the midst of you is strong and mighty. Your prayer? The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth rejoice. Your whole body in manifestation is rejoicing because now you know that your body is the body of God, and the Lord in his holy temple is filling you full of the joy of living. The announcement of yourself causes everything that has to do with that self to awaken and come to the place of recognition. That which you affirm from the consciousness of "It is done," is confirmed by the world. The fame of this new announcement goes out in all directions. Chapter 17. Follow Me. Made in the image and likeness of the I Am, perfect and eternally sustained by the unchanging power of the Presence, dwelling eternally in a state of paradise, functioning in harmony and above all the laws of the human mind. This is spiritual man born equal one with the other. Conceived in sin, born in iniquity, his days few and full of trouble, his actions such that when he would do good he does evil, his heritage and accumulation of beliefs from his family, his environment, and even his past lives. Fighting always against hopeless odds, eternally warring against sin, sickness, and death, this is the mortal creation, the sub or miscreation, a product of thought. As he thinketh, so is he, and yet he cannot stop the flow of thought he has set in action, which is keeping his John Smith in an eternal stream of evil. He learns and earns by the sweat of his brow. A hopeless situation at the outset, he must wait and wait and wait for everything to happen. He rails against his destiny at the very moment he is setting more of the evil into operation. The thought is the source and sustenance of all this evil and the impetus of it. Arise, walk through the land, the length of it, the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Arise, walk through the land and the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. A repetition of this wonder is in order, for no matter where it finds you, it is for you. Though 120 years old, his eye was not dim, nor his natural forces abated. We are moving through the time of human thought. 1,000 years may be as a day, etc., etc., to the permanent events of spiritual existence. In other words, everything has already happened in the perfect creation. Our getting to it is through the beliefs of human thought, very much like looking through the wrong end of a telescope. We see that which is really close at hand, miles away. The moment we actually see, we find it at hand. It is the look again of spirit, which does not need the 4 months of human hypnotism and belief to make so, but only the adjusting of vision. Jesus could make this appear because he was so conscious of it. He could see through the human time-space of thought and perceive the perfect, completed kingdom of heaven here and now. Into whatsoever level of human consciousness you enter, that becomes the absolute truth to you, and you become hypnotized to that level of thought. You are then under the direct power of the race consciousness of the said level of thought. The stronger the belief is, the more reality you give it. Hence, we find people who apparently are of normal intelligence entering into all sorts of cults and beliefs, and getting a measure of results from them. The good results are small, but the evil is enormous, for every one of them is motivated by the worship of gold and personality. All of the tenets of the cult become laws so absolute that to break them is far greater than the breaking of the laws of God. Cursing and damning and all sorts of black magic ensue to the follower who dares leave the fold. And while the same student can see 1,001 places where the power of the cult has ignominiously failed to do the least thing, yet when it comes to cursing and damning and personal injury, he will quake with fear at the supposed power, not realizing he is giving it all the power it ever had by believing in it. Once he breaks this connection, he finds it nothing and sees it from a new level of consciousness. Watch. Let no man deceive you. Follow no man. Follow me. If you follow no man, no man can deceive you. Do you hear? Follow me. Chapter 18. Ascension. So much talk about ascension. It has come to mean a going up of the physical body instead of entering into another degree of consciousness. If I be lifted up to a new state of consciousness, I will draw men, manifestation, unto me. That is, I will appropriate and experience everything that is in that consciousness. But that apparent being lifted up does not indicate anything physical. When Jesus ascended unto his Father consciousness, he did not go anywhere physically. He entered into a fourth dimensional consciousness, wherein the things that were formerly true were no longer true. The consciousness of the fatherhood degree does not find itself a sort of overlord looking down upon the Son. It is amazing that the simplicity of Jesus' teaching could have been so distorted as to indicate that the body would have to go anywhere in order to ascend. The moment you ascend to your Father, you find the new level of things, real, natural, and simple, whereas before it was unreal. What is true in the three-dimensional consciousness is wholly untrue in the fatherhood degree. I go unto my Father, and in parentheses, hood, consciousness. So I go unto my fatherhood consciousness, and there I am no longer under the curse of the law, yet am I under the law. Coming into the consciousness of your fatherhood does not indicate that you do not obey the law. You still render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's, but you are not caught in the curse of it all. It is wonderful. For some reason or other, man has accepted the ascension as something so mystical and so impossible that it is clothed in the magic of a fairy tale. It is supposed to be accompanied by the embodiment of an unearthly-looking individual wearing fluttery robes of a color and texture to suit the person ascending. It is a sort of theatrical finale. Yet nothing could be farther away from the truth as testified by Jesus when he asked his disciples to come and place their hands in his side and in his palms and see that a spirit, what most people believe to be the next state, has not flesh and blood. So it is a happy revelation to you that you are going to ascend into the flesh body, used as we understand it to mean in the quotation, "Yet in my flesh shall I see God," the fusion of body and soul. You are ascending all the time. As a balloon from which ballast is thrown enters different strata of atmosphere, so do you go into a new level of consciousness, and therein appropriate, as natural and normal, those things which you find. Just as a body entering a warm room takes on the temperature of the room. Much is said of the second coming. Few recognize that it is taking place right at this moment. Not the second coming of Jesus, for he has never gone away. Our vision is so dense that it cannot sustain his brightness on our level of consciousness. That is all. The second coming of Christ, the fatherhood degree, is actually taking place at this moment, just as the millennium is also taking place, and is entering now into the picture. It is the unseen leaven that is leavening the whole mass of meal, unconsciously and unseen, for that is the way the second coming is to be, through the clouds of your belief, and as a thief in the night. This coming is actually taking place at this moment. The government is to be upon his shoulders, and that too is coming, and in spite of opinions and beliefs, the cosmic power is hurrying along the word of Jesus. This is the kingdom of heaven. This, right here, the now. The second coming is actually taking place in the temples of men. When you see Jesus again, he will not say, "My kingdom is not of this world," for that world is passing away. It is being disintegrated and reestablished as the kingdom of heaven. The old subconscious mind is being stirred up, and its old habits and beliefs are being put through such a light treatment as to disabuse them of any power whatsoever. You, of course, have to make yourself as God. That is the way you were created, in the image and likeness, a little lower than the angels, given dominion over everything, over and under, etc., that you can begin to see why you must, as Jesus did, make yourself as God. That is, appropriate your divinity and begin to see the dominion you have over all the foul beliefs that have separated your body and soul. You have wandered into a far land, and it has been full of false things from which you have drawn your conclusions. But at last, you are awakening and are beginning to see. It is wonderful. In the fatherhood degree, which is your permanent identity, changeless and eternal, you find the finished mystery. You find the fulfilled desire. It is the state of consciousness into which Jesus ascended when he said, "Thank you, Father. I knew that this was already done. But these," etc. So I said, "Thank you." Do you begin to see that Jesus was not working out problems, but revealing the new dimension? Furthermore, do you begin to see what entering into this fatherhood degree means to you? It means that you escape the curse of the law. Not the law, but the curse of the law. So all the pseudo-laws that function evilly over man are made null and void in this consciousness. The laws of any of the quasi-sciences, with their dark and terrible fate of evil, are all neutralized. All the old terrible fate picture turns out to be clouds without rain. In other words, you discover you are no more under the curse of the law of human fate. Human fate is what Jesus came to destroy or set aside, and this he did by ascending to the fatherhood degree of consciousness, which was not concerned with the man-made laws. Again, the second coming of Christ must not be confused with Jesus. Your body, called what you will, is the temple of the living God, but until the union of body and soul is made, the body cannot receive any of the inspiration of the soul. It cannot step down its desires or give them a body because there is a gulf of belief that has separated matter and spirit. They are two substances foreign to each other. The one wholly intelligent and powerful, the other filled with all sorts of beliefs in separation. But once this union is made and you know that the body is the temple of the living God, you soon will see the law, you must decrease, I must increase, taking place. The former belief and power of the body separated from soul are taken away, and it becomes merely the temple through which the light comes into manifestation. When this begins to happen, the limitations of John Smith are dissipated. Whereas before I, as John Smith, was blind, now I can see. Just like that, just entering into the consciousness of it is done, and if it is done, it is quite natural and simple of expression. When you begin to make your ascension into the consciousness of the permanent identity, the claiming or assumption of your heritage, you will begin to also experience many wonderful things, too numerous to mention, like the sands of the sea. In the way ye know not of, do they come into being. They are embodied, for now you know that is the purpose of your new temple, and that the second coming gives you the authority which you, as John Smith, lacked. Marvel not, ye must be born again. There is no question about it. This ascension, or being born again, is not a strange psychic thing, but the most beautiful experience in the world, an awakening to that which eternally is. It is so filled with light and gladness that you again experience the joy of life. I came that your joy might be full. As man begins to understand the difference between thought and consciousness, he will also experience the ascension quite naturally. Thought is the creator and the sustainer of all evil manifestation, which in turn is Maya or illusion. The fact that you consider sickness curable from a human standpoint proves its very unreality. The moment thought is taken away from a manifestation, that manifestation disintegrates and falls to pieces. Be absent from the body and present with the Lord, bespeaks the wisdom of the Lord. Real thought does not create consciousness, but emanates from a state of consciousness, and the misthought and conception is merely a counterfeit of the emanation of light thought, which the Christ consciousness exudes. It is easy to understand why Jesus counseled, "Take no thought," and asked, "Who by taking thought," etc. We are beginning to understand the difference between thought and consciousness. Consciousness is a permanent thing. The moment you ascend to any level of consciousness, an entirely new set of thoughts emanate from that point. As rays of light emanate from the sun, the miscreation of human thinking, which has been walking up and down and to and fro in the world of appearances, is real only to the believer in it, and its manifestations of evil must be fed and sustained by thought. The moment you ascend to any level of consciousness, you have the strength and power of all consciousness at that level. Just as the moment you descend to any level of human thinking, you have the entire race consciousness on that level to aid, abet, and prove the truth of the evil manifestation. Hence, if you have given disease in your thought creation, every bit of evil knowledge, together with every proof of that disease, helps, aids, and abets your thought in making it real and fixed in your world. You have the entire race consciousness of the evil you are holding on to by thought, to back up your arguments that it is real and eternal. No mistake about this. You have the undivided support of everything on the level of consciousness to which you ascend. Chapter 19. With All Thy Getting. The great difference between Jesus Christ and his followers is that he became the power by being conscious of it instead of using it or trying to make it operate in a lesser dimension. This difference, which may appear on the surface to be merely a play on words, when once examined, shows such a gulf between the two approaches as to make that separation between Dives and Lazarus seem nothing but a crevice. Being conscious of a power causes the manifestation of that power to be natural, orderly, and at the command of the person in such a place. Nothing strange takes place when a switch is turned and a room is filled with light, music, warmth, cool air, color, and now even odors. It is a natural following of the proper understanding of electricity. Franklin recognized something of this when he set up his kite with a key tied to its tail. But the freak happenings of lightning, as compared to the intelligent employment of electricity, are likened unto the so-called miracles, supernatural happenings, as compared to the revelation of Jesus Christ. The moment a statement like that is made, the old human intellect immediately raises its hydra head into the limelight and says, "Such things are too deep for the average man." In the instruction book, it says that a child can do it, but an adult cannot because he wants to adulterate it with personal opinions and beliefs, hearsay, and findings of human power. Nevertheless, Jesus was right when he prefaced this glorious revelation with the words, "A child can do it." A child can do it because a child will not try to put the fourth dimension through the glass darkly of human reasoning. Remembering that the wisdom of man is foolishness in the eyes of God, there is no use to put the God wisdom through the human miasma of beliefs if you expect to get anything but a distorted picture of evil. When Jesus was confronted by a picture of evil, he immediately retired into the consciousness of the Christ within, the Father within, and became one with him. "This Father within," he said, "was within every man, awaiting recognition. It was not a power to be used, but a power to become, a blending with the true self, the Christ mind." He took his human consciousness, as it were, into the inner, and when he returned, it was purified of the belief in a power opposed to God. Very much the same as a child might take a bucket of dirty water to the ocean, throw it in, and return with the same bucket filled with pure water. So when Jesus came again from the Father consciousness, the situation was entirely clarified. The personal became the impersonal, that is, it was lost in the Father consciousness, which is of too pure eyes to behold iniquity. And when he personalized again, he brought forth what to the human sense was healing or revelation, but which was just as natural to the consciousness within as the appearance of light in a house wired for light. It was and is a natural thing. Many people believe that God is sitting on high, waiting to pounce on them for doing what they apparently cannot help doing. No wonder the constant, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light." The unnaturalness of truth must be wiped out by the understanding which is given to us by Jesus Christ. Discovering this permanent, changeless identity within himself and every man, he was amazed that no one seemed to understand the simplicity of stepping into the Father consciousness and thereby neutralizing the appearances of evil in the Jesus body. 1,001 things have been approximated by understanding of electricity. Time and space have practically been eliminated by its use. To hear a man speaking thousands of miles away is nothing, and to transmit photographs through the air along with voices and other things, is everyday fare now. So will the power of God one day become as natural and normal, because you will move into the consciousness of its reality and stop imagining something mysterious and wonderful is to happen, which is to upset your life with a thing called miracle. When you arrive at the simple understanding of Jesus Christ, you will find the supernatural natural. When you enter into this consciousness of life, you will find sickness quite unnatural and quite impossible. This is the state of consciousness which Jesus discovered in every man, and it was this permanent Father consciousness in the man to which he addressed his questions. Believe thou this? Will you receive your sight? Will you be made whole? Etc. It was not to the confused human thought which found itself in a maze of evil and impossible situations. In spite of the statements, apparently to the contrary, Jesus did not come to heal people, nor yet to help them, if this is taken to mean some temporary relief. He came to reveal the fatherhood dimension of life, which is able and capable of bringing forth what the human mind called miracles, with a naturalness and ease which it found in itself. The difference in demonstrating power and being conscious of it is vast. A lion goes to the waterhole when he will. He does not have to wait for the most auspicious moment. He does not have to consider anything. He is unafraid of the other animals. Yet he does not try to generate this power of courage. He does not have to make a demonstration. He does not have to use the power. He is just unafraid, because he is conscious of his power. He does not use power. He is power. While this illustration is quite inadequate to cover the idea, yet will it give some inkling of what Jesus discovered within every man, a superb power, or the presence which enabled him to be and let instead of using or trying to make a demonstration of it. There is nothing against the demonstration, but revelation of your Christ consciousness enables you to see a different basis of operation. As soon as you see this, even faintly, you will begin to understand the power in such words as, "Let there be." This is not demonstration, but is merely releasing the manifestation into visibility, releasing the invisible or stepping down the power into manifestation. You continue with this until you start to reason and find out that it is impossible. The moment you start to reason about how God can do it and why he doesn't, you might just as well stop, for you are approaching something which is impossible to the human thought. No man knows. The ways of God are past finding out, etc. The moment man sees he has a permanent identity, which is eternally knocking at the door of his human consciousness, asking to come into expression, he will open unto him and let him in. The Jesus and Christ become one consciousness called Jesus Christ. The Word made flesh and the flesh made spirit, and this is the unbeatable combination of flesh, the flesh which shall see it together, and the yet in my flesh. Through the Bible, you see the commands addressed to the hearing ear and the seeing eye, the command which is misunderstood by the three-dimensional human thought consciousness. The cattle on a thousand hills are mine. If I were hungered, I would slay and eat, and I would not ask you. What to do with such a statement? One cannot demonstrate it, no matter how hard he tries. The cattle on a thousand hills are only his when he can accept them, and he cannot enter in and kill and eat with impunity unless he is in that consciousness. This is done not in the pompous conceit of the human mind, but in the utter humility of recognition. Through this contact, he is able to step the invisible down into manifestation. In other words, whatsoever he can and does tell this Father within, that is, he is able to bring forth into manifestation as a natural revelation instead of a demonstration. He finds it natural to go in and possess the land because he is conscious of it. He is able to appropriate his own, not by argument, but by revelation. Jesus saw this so clearly, he could even say, "Thank you, Father," before the manifestation had even taken place. "You sought me for the loaves and fishes and did not see the miracle," explains the surprise of Jesus. He had shown the ways and means of the manifestation, and yet the crowd of followers still sought him for the manifestation. Things, demonstrations, manifestations, and signs, all that is what the unenlightened mind seeks because it still believes in a God apart from man. When the word "signs shall follow, they do not proceed" is heard, then you will be able to watch with me 1 hour. The most important hour in the life of Jesus was that 1 hour. And there were the disciples all asleep, probably snoring, getting ready for the big Roman holiday, going back into their former beliefs. What, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Could you not stand and see the miracle instead of looking for the manifestation? So it is with consciousness versus thinking and demonstrating. When you believe and stand on that point, the signs will follow, and you will know that they will follow, and all the excitement of demonstration will have passed. Lightning never strikes twice in the same place. And so is it with demonstrations. One big demonstration is about all any student or follower of the truth ever gets. He keeps on living from the light of that one thing, instead of entering into the place of power where that thing is natural. He continues to expect lightning to strike again in the same place. Do you begin to see that the sign has already been given, and now you are to enter into the miracle of the thing instead of waiting for further manifestations? Do you begin to understand how it is that in the Father consciousness you shall go in and possess the land without the silly idea that you have done something strange? When the virtue proceeded out of Jesus, do you suppose he forced it out? Or made it go out of him? Or do you think it just had to go out automatically because he had been touched? Answer for yourself, and you will begin to understand the difference between mental and spiritual revelation. The virtue went out because it is the nature of God to answer any and all prayers automatically the moment he is touched by recognition and acceptance. Solitude reveals all its secrets to the one who is alone with God and wraps him in all its charm. Come apart from among them and be free. Enter into your consciousness. Then the solitude taught him to draw on the treasure of reverie. Enter in and be saved. Enter into what? Enter into this consciousness of the presence, this permanent identity to which Jesus constantly referred. When you enter, you do not push, shove, beat, fight, nor are you dragged in. You enter. It is the same power wrapped in the word that makes it possible. When you begin to see the power of the word, you will see why My words are power, and they are spirit, and they shall not return unto me void, but shall accomplish whereunto they are sent. It is wonderful when you are in rapport with the spirit of the word. When a thing is accepted in the consciousness, the body, Jesus, is able to materialize it. When you have accepted the fact that you can write a letter, the body can make it become flesh, as it were. So with all prayer, when you ask, believing that you receive, it is so, but it is not to be a demonstration. I may watch and memorize some chords or notes on a piano and be able to play them as long as I remember them and make a certain kind of music, but never can I say I am a musician. So is it with the Christ consciousness. Enter in and be saved. Go in and possess all the land. It is wonderful. Chapter 20. Consciousness. From consciousness flows a never-ending stream of light, which in turn manifests itself in all sorts of byproducts. Take, for example, the consciousness that the world at large has of Lincoln, and then try to list or catalog the books, plays, articles, anecdotes, and sayings which have flown therefrom, to say nothing of the statues, paintings, and the millions of souvenirs, etc. This illustration, while inadequate to express the idea that Jesus conveyed by going to the Father or consciousness, in a way gives some idea of what happens to the individual when he perceives the consciousness of a thing. The consciousness is a reality, and the moment it is approximated, the manifestation begins to flow. All thought proceeds from consciousness, and does not in any way contribute to it nor take from it. You cannot create real consciousness by taking thought. You only create a false thing. Imagine trying to create a Lincoln by thought. He would be a character in fiction without reality and without embodiment, a temporary thing at best. Yet man continues to try to create a consciousness of health, prosperity, or happiness by taking thought. In spite of the warning of Jesus, who by taking thought, quote unquote, the established consciousness, the finished thing, when entered into, yields manifestation, whether this be of health, prosperity, or happiness. The thought-created pseudo-consciousness of any of these things yields nothing. Clouds without rain is the measure of the state of things created by thought. There is no life in any manifestation concocted by thought, no matter what it is. Willpower sometimes accomplishes a semblance of power, but its day is short. Trying to bring a little warmth out of a room is more or less a failure, though you might bring a warmed blanket from it, which would in a measure bring something of that consciousness down to the present condition. But its duration is short, and presently you must go again for another warm blanket. So is it with all things. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that are prepared. Understand that the things you are seeking are prepared and waiting for you to enter into the consciousness of this truth. The moment you come to the consciousness that they are already prepared, you have made an enormous stride forward into the place of realization. Just think what it means to you to suddenly discover that the things you have been seeking to demonstrate actually exist and are real and ready to be brought into manifestation. Half of the battle with thought is over. Accepting this mentally with the hopes that you can demonstrate it is a fallacy. Anything you try to do fails. You cannot mock God. Whatsoever you have in your mind, that will be your exact result. So do not think to trick this God power by believing in a new formula. The fact that you finally discover that the place is actually prepared and waiting does not make it appear. It then has to be appropriated, and you cannot appropriate it unless it is natural and normal. Any anxiety, excitement, or curiosity as to whether it will work or not forms an impassable barrier. Jesus did not try to work any miracles on the Jesus plane of consciousness. He immediately ascended to the fatherhood degree, where the thing that Jesus sought was an established fact. Acknowledging this, telling his father in secret, he was then able to bring this wonderful thing out through the Jesus body. It all seems involved, but it is natural and easy. It is so simple that a child can perform it, for the child can accept without reservations and without the human element of trying to prove things. An open acknowledgement that God knows more than any man you ever knew might help. And if you should be able to take this stance, then you should, in order to follow up your discovery, ask of God instead of a man. Behold, I am he that should come. The permanent identity, the Father within you, is he that should come, and you will presently stop looking for another. Do not get the idea of Jesus confused in your mind. Jesus could do nothing of himself. Neither can you, and that gives you an equal start. And having been assured that you have the Father consciousness within, the same mind which was also in Christ Jesus, you will understand how very wonderful your situation is. You are placed in a position to perform the works done by Jesus Christ, because you have the authority and the ability and the knowledge of how they were done. The moment you see this, you will discount not only what every man has told you regarding yourself and the conditions of the world, but what you have been telling yourself. And presently the old history of your John Smith will fall away. It will be so completely transcended that it will not come into mind any more. You see the Jesus passing back and forth from the Father to the Son consciousness. You see him going unto the Father, his perfect identity, and there acknowledging that which he wished to appear, from the personal to the impersonal and back again, bringing with it the substance in manifestation. It is wonderful, and so it is. The prepared place, the thing prepared, the blessings that you cannot receive because they are so immeasurably greater than your little human mind with its greed has been able to take in, all this awaits recognition. You cannot recognize it until you have gotten over the idea of bringing God down into manifestation or healing. Nothing is more absurd than a testimony that God healed one part of the body while another remained ill. This is too ridiculous to mention. The presence does not work that way. The consciousness of the presence when contacted makes you every whit whole. You will notice that Jesus always went to his Father consciousness. He never tried to bring it down to the level of the John Smith thinking. If he could have done this, it would have acted from that level. But he went into his fatherhood consciousness and there found the finished thing which he was able then to release through the temple, Jesus. It is all so simple that it is given to the child, yet so difficult to the adulterous adult. I go to prepare a place for you, and I take my body with me. We see the insistence of Jesus. Yet in my flesh shall I see God. Jesus was the only teacher who materialized. He was the only way-shower who brought forth the invisible and discovered that everything that was to come to him must be stepped down through his temple, body, which had been merged with the Spirit. The Father and Son became one, making a perfect medium for the God power to rush through into manifestation. All this seems vague in words, yet if you are at the point of recognizing what Jesus said to you 2,000 years ago, you will at last see that whatsoever you ask in my nature, that give I unto you, is more than a statement, it is the actual manifestation. Whatsoever you can accept as finished and done is capable of coming into manifestation in the body. Matter merged with the spirit, the body and soul joined together, brings man back to his primal beauty and power. He is again conscious of his true self and able to bring forth the manifestations as shown by Jesus. Yes, and even greater things than these will ye do. It is wonderful when you know you do not have to bring God down to your level of thinking, but that you move into the consciousness and therein function from the level of what you recognize as possible. No matter about the mechanics, they will take care of themselves. They will be handled easily and naturally. If the desire or urge is given to you, you can fulfill it if you recognize the permanent identity, the being which was created perfect and remains eternally so, the fatherhood degree, the point where contact is definitely and effectively made with God. It is wonderful. A spider goes within for the substance with which to spin his web. Presently, you will believe Jesus Christ and go within your consciousness and find all that you have been looking for on the outside or that you have been trying to create.